Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and we are in the Gospel of John, continuing through this great, great book of the Bible. I am having such a good time in this book, I can't tell you. I want to go in slow motion because it's going by too fast. That's how I feel about this particular book. And it's because when I'm looking at my Bible right now, all the words are red. And I know it's all the Word of God, red and black, doesn't matter. But those words are the words of Jesus, the man, the God. And I just love the Gospels for that reason. So we pick it up today in John chapter 17. We pick it up in verse 18. So get your Bible. We'll begin in just a minute. Scripture Verse by Verse can be heard at the Scripture Verse by Verse website as well. That's found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And I say it every broadcast. Of course, many of you know that, but that's okay because I have to keep reminding people and also first-time listeners and viewers that you can study the Bible at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages right there at thebibleversebyverse.com. And I say it because the Word of God is the most important thing on earth, and it's important that we get the whole counsel of God, and it's important that the teacher gives you the Word of God straight without watering it down, without trying to impress anyone. You need the pure Word of God. I need the pure Word of God. You can get it at thebibleversebyverse.com. So please check it out, because what you will hear there is what you will hear today. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John 1:18. I think we're going to have to back up. Let's back up to verse 13, okay? Jesus is praying. And he's praying on behalf of his disciples. And he says, "Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Don't twist that verse. Don't explain it away with your so-called interpretations, you modern evangelicals, in order to try to justify being like the world and loved by the world, and have the world be impressed with you. Because I know that's the goal of many of you. Whether you say it or not, it is. Will you just look at Jesus' words? I'll never understand, especially in light of the fact that Jesus said, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world." If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And so many modern Christians not only love the world, contrary to Jesus' command, they are absolutely enamored. They are in love with the world. I mean, they are in love. They're enamored. They want the world's approval. They think they're so cool. That tells me you don't spend enough time with Jesus. Because if you spent more time with Jesus, you wouldn't be enamored with anyone or anything except Jesus. You certainly wouldn't be enamored with something that goes contrary to Christ, like the world does. 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. You know, if Jesus doesn't want us to go to heaven the moment we get saved, that'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? But he's got a job for us to do. So he says, I pray that you don't take them out of the world. They got work to do before that day comes, and so do you. And so do I. The Bible says we are to occupy until Jesus comes, or you can put it this way, until we go to be with him. 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I talked about this last time. That's my favorite verse, right? Well, I don't know if it's my favorite verse, but it's my most often used verse because I pray it. The same prayer Jesus prayed right here before every broadcast. Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. There's only one way to be holy. There's only one way to be like Jesus. I said it last time. I'll say it again for those of you who were not here. There's only one way to be holy. There's only one way to be sanctified. It's not by following some plan of 50 days, a 50-day adventure to holiness, or 50 days adventure to this, or 7 steps to this, or 12 steps here, or 12 steps there. Forget it. Just forget it. And it's not by reading the how-to book. It's not. It's not by doing a workbook. It's not by anything except the Word of God. The Word of God. You take in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will sanctify you. See, I cannot write a book and charge you $25 for it if all I'm going to have is one page that says, the title being The Road to Holiness, The Way to Holiness, and you open up the one page in the book and it says, read the Bible. Study the Bible. See, I can't charge you $25 for that. But if I come up with some elaborate plan, some evangelical scheme, the latest fad, well, then I can probably tickle you a little bit. And many of you, probably not those of you who watch me regularly because you're not into that garbage, but I could tickle a lot of evangelicals out there and get them to buy my books if I came up with a pretty good fad. But I don't want to, because Jesus already gave us the way. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to be holy? You want to be like Jesus? Read the Word of God. And when you're done, read the Word of God some more. And when you're finished, study the Word of God. And then read the Word of God some more. And then turn off the television and turn off the radio, unless you're listening to me. And then read the Word of God some more and study the Word of God some more. And you're going to become more like Jesus. Verse 17, 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We are to do what Jesus did while he was here. God the Father sent Jesus into the world, and now Jesus is sending us. We're to live the way God wants us to live. We're to do the things that God wants us to do. Do it. And do what we can to spread the word of God, because that's what Jesus did. Of course, he died on the cross to pay for our sins. But in addition to that, that's what he did. He lived the way God wanted him to do, wanted him to live. He taught the word of God. He proclaimed the pure word of God. And that's what God wants us. He wants us to be holy as Christians and help get out the word of God. Period. Those are the two big things. 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. By dying for our sins, which is what he's talking about when he says that he sanctifies himself, by dying for our sins and then sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of Christians the moment they repent and receive Christ, Jesus made it possible for us to be sanctified. He made it possible for us to live right, to live the way he lived, by yielding to the Holy Spirit in us. Now, unfortunately, we're going to sin, which is exactly why God gave us 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's acceptable. I'm saying that's the way it is. Sorry. But confess it right away and get back on track. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. And that's us. That's us. We are they who believe on Christ through the word of the apostles. Christians are Christians because they have believed what the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write in the New Testament. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. No one gets saved apart from the Word of God. Do you see why I keep harping on it? On the importance of the Word of God and the sufficiency of the Word of God? Because no one ever gets saved apart from the Word of God. No one ever gets sanctified apart from the Word of God. No wonder the devil has modern evangelicals caught up and enamored with anything and everything other than the Word of God. If you're a preacher, you're a pastor, and you give out the pure word of God, and you don't water it down, you're going to draw people. The Holy Spirit will draw people who are genuinely interested in Jesus Christ to you. But if you don't do that, then the Holy Spirit's not going to work through you. And if you want to be popular and you want the crowds to come, then you got to major in entertainment or being cute or something else, trying to impress people with your great intellect by always saying the Greek word says this, or the Hebrew word says this, and you know, and on it goes. And why don't you just wear a sign? Why don't you just wear a placard that says, look at me, ain't I smart? Look at me, ain't I intelligent? Look at me, ain't you impressed with me? Of course, they would never say ain't. That's the way it goes. We are Christians because God inspired the apostles to write the New Testament. And that's why I would not give 2 cents, I would not give 2 measly pennies to any preacher who tells jokes and stories and talks politics and anything else except the pure word of God. Who needs that rot? Who needs that trash? No lost soul ever gets saved, and no saved person ever gets sanctified either, unless the words of Almighty God, the words inspired through the apostles, are given the way God gave it. And that would be line upon line and precept upon precept, the whole counsel of God. 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The more sanctified and sold out to Jesus Christians are, the more the Holy Spirit unity, the more Holy Spirit unity there will be. So, if you got 2 Christians who love Jesus Christ and are walking with the Lord and confess when they fail, they're going to get along just fine. They may not have anything else in common, but they're going to get along just fine. The more sanctified and sold out to Jesus Christians are, the more Holy Spirit unity there will be. And that's the kind of unity that Jesus is praying for here, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. As long as we are in the world, where our knowledge is limited, Christians will have different opinions about certain things in Scripture. But the closer we are to Christ, the more our disagreements will be expressed in an agreeable way. I'm not talking about being agreeable with somebody who purposely waters down the truth to be popular. I'm not talking about somebody who replaces the Word of God with psychotherapy or psychology or 12-step programs. I'm not talking about being agreeable with those, because the Bible says, have nothing to do with the fruitless, unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And the Word of God is good for rebuke as well as instruction and training in righteousness, the Bible says. So I'm not saying drop everything, every conviction that you have that comes directly from the Word of God in order to get along with somebody and be totally accepting of their heresies and their false teaching. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about honest disagreements about things in Scripture that aren't really clear. See, I don't have any trouble getting along with somebody who believes in a pre-tribulation rapture. I don't. I don't believe in that. I used to, but I don't believe in that anymore. It doesn't hold up to the scrutiny of Scripture, period. It just doesn't. I heard a guy, somebody that I really respect, a Bible teacher, teach on the pre-tribulation rapture the other day, or was this yesterday? And I thought, well, this would be interesting, because I used to believe that, right? So he started to teach. He taught a half hour on it. Never said anything worthwhile. All he did was surmise. All he did was basically give his opinion, but he couldn't use hard scriptures to prove his point. All he did was rationalize to his point of view. And if you listen to my study on the rapture myth, you go to my website and listen to the study on rapture myth, just type it in, you'll see I don't surmise, I don't speculate, I don't do anything. I just give you the pure word of God. It just falls into place so perfectly. I don't have to retch the scriptures. But again, I don't have any trouble getting along with somebody. I mean, if that's what you want to believe, okay, fine. That won't determine whether you're saved or not, okay? So I don't have any problem getting along with somebody like that. I don't have any problems getting along with somebody, a Christian who doesn't think you should eat meat. I don't have any problems. I don't have any problems with a lot of things. I do have problems getting along with somebody who teaches blatantly false doctrine or waters down the word of God. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be one. You're going to agree on the fundamental truths of Christianity, the truths that make Christians Christians. And in those gray areas, you're going to be gracious. So again, I say, as long as we are in the world where our knowledge is limited, Christians are going to have different opinions about certain things in Scripture. Non-essential things, but certain things. And the closer we are to Christ, the more disagreements are going to be handled in an agreeable way. Verse 22, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me." God the Father loves you and me as much as he loves his Son. That sink in? God the Father loves you and me if you're a Christian. God the Father loves Christians, his adopted sons and daughters. He loves us as much as he loves his eternal Son. God the Father loves his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a perfect love. He loves Jesus with a perfect love that never skips a beat. And that's how Almighty God loves you. Yes, even when you fail, even when you sin. And you should love him too. And if you're a Christian, you will. And so you'll feel guilty and you'll confess. 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Jesus looks forward to us being with him in heaven and on the new earth. He looks forward to that. That's what he's talking about. No wonder the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You know why that's precious to God? Because he knows that his people will be blessed after they die. And he also knows that they're coming by him. And Jesus loves that. He wants to be with us in person, in the flesh, so to speak. Verse 25, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me." Christians all know that the Father sent the Son to die for our sins. Every true Christian knows that and would die for that truth. They would take a bullet before they would deny the fact that the Father sent the Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. If you're a genuine Christian, You are willing to be persecuted for that. You are willing to suffer loss for that. You are willing to die for that if need be. He who endures to the end shall be saved. If you deny me, I will deny you, says Jesus. You can't be a Christian. You can't be a Christian if you don't believe that the Father sent the Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Because that's fundamental to being Christian. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus wants our walk with him to be real, to be personal. He wants us to love him as much as the Father loves him. Jesus wants us to love him as much as the Father loves him. And that's not far-fetched. Not for a genuine Christian. For starters, you know that Jesus has saved you from hell, and you know there was no other way. That's going to go a long way toward you loving Jesus as much as the Father loves him. But it's beyond that. It's that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, obviously, loves Jesus and the Father. So the Holy Spirit in you begins to stir your heart as a Christian to love Jesus like he does. It's the most natural thing in the world for a Christian to love Jesus like the Father loves Jesus. That's why we feel terrible when we sin. Because we hurt the one that we love. We disappointed the one that we love. You see, Christianity isn't about legalism. I love fundamentalism. If you're talking about believing and standing firm on the fundamental truths of God's word, that's what I am. And I don't apologize for being a fundamentalist. But a fundamentalist has nothing to do with legalism, rules and regulations, you know, that are supposed to help you to obtain holiness. Yeah, that's just a bunch of baloney. And it robs Jesus. It robs Jesus of being served out of love. And it robs the Christian out of the joy that comes from serving Jesus out of love. When you go to a church that is loaded with rules and regulations, so-called holiness standards, that quenches the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're in the Word of God and you're studying the Word of God, your love for Jesus is going to continue to grow, and your desire to be holy is going to continue to grow, and your holiness will continue to grow. That's how it works. It's not complicated. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, what did we look at? My verse, sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. You spend time with Jesus, you become more like Jesus. And he wants our walk with him to be real, to be personal. He wants us to love him as much as the Father loves him. Jesus does not want some cold, stale, formal, religious relationship with you and me. That is not what being a Christian is about. You think that impresses Jesus? It does not. There are a lot of people who go to church and communion every single week, and they are totally clueless when it comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. They have none. It's just religion. He didn't want that. Jesus wants us to appreciate what he has done for us and to care about him in return. Let's go into chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. So, just to recap what's going on. It is Thursday night. The Last Supper is over. Jesus and his men walk out of that upper room. They leave the city of Jerusalem, and they walk east to the Mount of Olives. And they climb the Mount of Olives, and they stop at a place called the Garden of Gethsemane, which was on the west slope of the Mount of Olives. So that's where we are. 2. And Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted there with his disciples. Jesus spent a lot of time praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that is why Judas had a pretty good idea where he and the Roman soldiers could find him, or the religious leaders and their officials could find Jesus. Verse 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So you got the tough guys from the religious leaders who hated Jesus' guts. And Judas leads them to the garden where he knows Jesus will be praying. And you know, if you remember back, Jesus slipped through the hands of people like this several times earlier in his ministry. They tried to arrest him on more than one occasion. They tried to kill him on more than one occasion, but it wasn't his time. So he slipped right through. He avoided them easy. And because he slipped through, they're not taking any chances. So they bring armed soldiers to take him this time. They think that really will make the difference. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? I like that. Jesus didn't wait for them to come to him. He went out and he met them. Which just goes to show who's in charge of this deal. The soldiers could have left their weapons back at the base because Jesus did not put up a fight. He went to them. Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, who betrayed him, stood with them, the snake. And I wonder if Judas is surprised that Jesus is not putting up a fight. Some people think one of the reasons Judas betrayed Christ was that he thought when push came to shove, Jesus would destroy the Romans to keep from being arrested. And then he'd set up his kingdom. But that's not happening. Jesus isn't doing that. Verse 6. As soon then, as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. When Jesus said, I am he, all the soldiers fell on their backs, overpowered by the words of Christ. With all their clubs and their swords and their spears, they fell right on their back. And so we see that Christ will go, but not because he has to, not because he's being forced to. He will go because he chooses to. This proved that. Out of time. Continue studying at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, found at the BibleVerseByVerse.com. Check it out, okay? Begin a verse-by-verse study through the whole Bible. If you are studying from Genesis through Revelation, I'd love to hear from you. Just drop me a note, drop me an email, something. Let me know that you are studying the Word of God with me, verse by verse. I'd appreciate that. That's always encouraging to know that somebody is studying the Word of God with me. But whatever you do, study the Word of God. Whether you start in Genesis and go through Revelation, or you study any book of the Bible that you want to, all you need to bring is your Bible. The rest is there. Bring your Bible, open it up to wherever you want to study, click and listen. 3 complete series going through the Bible at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. For over 30 years, I never have been. Don't expect I ever will be, but that's okay. I just give out the Word of God and trust that God will move people like you who love His Word to be a part of this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And you can give and become a part of this ministry by clicking the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.